live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Happy New Year's Eve in 3 days' time. That's right, it's nearly New Year. Not quite there, so we've done a 5 countdown instead. But I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas, because it is the festive season. Yes, it is indeed. Us here at WNTTAG Towers, we had a fantastic Christmas, as you may have seen if you've been keeping up to speed on all the socials, Instagram and all that jazz. We had a lovely one. I got loads of spooky gifts, and I even went out yesterday and treated myself to a spooky gift. What was that spooky gift, you ask? I'll tell you. It was a magic book. Not just a book about magic, but a magical book that is a difference. Yes. This is called Magic, an Occult Primer. And it's very, very old. When I say old, it's from the 70s. It's just been brought back out into print. And it teaches you how to do actual magic spells. So Becca may be a frog next week. Here's hoping. Or hopping. See what I've done there? Frogs? No? Never mind. I do hope you had a fantastic one. Thank you for anyone who's got in touch over the festivities and said what they're up to and all that jazz. That's really good of you. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch and send us a story or whatever else, send it to contact@talkaboutghosts.com. That's contact@talkaboutghosts.com. We've got a hell of a lot to get through this episode, and we're going to do it, because that's why we have a podcast in years. And we've also got some great news, some fantastic news coming up later about a few things that are going on with the show. You will have seen as well, if you're on the socials and that, I think I mentioned it last week, I got through to a songwriting final, so we're doing that in 2 weeks' time. That's going to be fun. And also, in the first week of the new year, I'll be meeting one of our listeners. Yes, unbelievably, serendipity is one of our American listeners, Laurie, is coming over with her husband, not just to see me. That'd be weird. I don't know why they're here, actually. I didn't ask. But I'm going to meet her and we're going to discuss the paranormal for that week's show. Yeah, so we'll have an Americorn on the show, one of our listeners. That'll be fun. We're going to meet in a ye old English pub here in Liverpool city centre. And now, obviously, Liverpool's been a town since the AD. No, it's about 500 years old, 700 years old, even. It's when King John gave us township charter, which I think's about 1600 and odd. Might be older. I don't know. But we're going to find a ye olde pub that's been here forever, for centuries. And we're going to sit there and talk about ghosts. And we're going to record it. And we're going to put it out as a show. Sounds good, that, doesn't it? I think so. Yes. Thank you as well. Want to thank you all for the feedback about the panto, which went out. It wasn't everyone's cup of tea, which is completely understandable. But a lot of people found it quite funny. So for those who did, well done. Thank you very much. You've made my day. And for those who didn't, well done. Thank you very much for not commenting. We've got some amazing spooky stories this time, then. And they're not all Christmas-based. In fact, I don't think any of them are Christmas-based, to be perfectly honest. But they are very scary indeed. It'll just be me on this show, because Becca's got to go out. Yeah, man, she's going out. Her cousin's turning 21 today. Key to the door and all that jazz. Not she, interestingly. Don't you find it weird, you know, people have birthdays around Christmas? Because it's like, what are you meant to do? What's the bigger day? Is it Jesus' birthday? Is it your birthday? Are you called Jesus? Is there two Jesus' birthday? Shall we just buy one big Jesus gift? So it's all them sorts of questions come to mind, I'm sure. If you do want to get in touch with the show, contact@talkaboutghosts.com. We've had some lovely reviews come in as well. I won't be reading any of them out, but they're really nice. In fact, I might. We've had one bad review, which I'm not going to read out. It was actually quite constructive. So, yeah. Someone's knocking. Hello.
I'm going.
Oh, you're going?
Yes, I'm going.
I'm just saying to the wonderful listeners that you're off to buy a gift for your cousin.
I know, I could hear you booming away, to be honest.
Could you?
Yeah. I can also answer one of those questions.
What question?
What do you do about the gift? Do you get, like, one big gift?
Wait, if you're gonna speak for a bit, you go closer to the microphone.
Sorry. No, I could hear you saying about December birthdays and what you do, like, do you buy
Or what? Gagging
you
in, yeah.
Never. No, I could hear you booming away.
Right.
You never buy one big gift, you do two separate gifts.
People, I gathered that.
People with, like, well, you didn't gather that because you're saying, I wonder what to do. But you never do one big gift.
Right, but what's more important, the person's birthday or Jesus' birthday?
To who?
In general?
Well,
I mean, obviously to Jesus' mum, it's Jesus' birthday.
Well, there you go.
But if I'd class your birthday more important than Jesus' birthday. Sorry, Jesus.
Well, yeah, as would I if my birthday was December, I think.
Well, and what about your cousin? Do you prefer Christmas or do you prefer your cousin's birthday?
I don't think I'll be there on the day of my cousin's birthday, so probably.
Oh, well, she had her birthday?
Yeah.
When was it?
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve? Yeah. Oh, it's even worse for her. Mm. Poor girl.
Yeah, and we've got an aunt whose birthday is Boxing Day.
I don't care about your aunt. Never met her.
Yes, you have.
I haven't. Who?
Sandra.
Oh, yeah. I do. Alexandra, yeah. I take it all back.
Don't care about that.
I didn't realise that
was
the
nice
case. She's lovely. Yeah, I do like her. I take it all back.
Mm, as you should.
Oh, well. That's what you get for jumping in with insults right off the bat, you
I
see.
I know. You should learn a lot.
What are you going to buy her anyway?
I don't know.
For this birthday?
I don't know. I haven't decided
slash
yet.
Christmas gift.
I don't know. I haven't decided yet. Any ideas?
Yes. Get her an advent calendar because they'll be on sale.
Thanks for that. It's really helpful.
It will. It'll be helpful. Buy her 12 and then she can open one every month up to Christmas. She'll put on
it'll
weight. It
still only cost about £6.
Well, yeah, that's true. I've no earthly idea. But anyway, this is a paranormal podcast.
Okay, I'm going
to
go.
Okay, bye. Thank you.
See you later.
I love you, Tessie. Bye. I said I love you.
Thanks.
Thanks. Oh, God, that's no way to treat someone who loves you. I might leave you when you come back.
Leave me what?
A pound. I was going to leave you outright. Never mind. Anyway, off with you. Sorry about that, everybody. Just Becca there. As you can clearly tell, she's not yet turned into a frog, but she may soon. Shall we get into some scary stories then? I think we shall. So our first story comes in from the wonderful Kathy Bird. And Kathy's title is Canadian True Story. And it goes like thus. Hey, Kev. Hi. After trying to longhand this story and mail it to you, I just folded. This may take a while to compose, but here it goes. We're with you, Kathy. Come on. I need to give some background. The worst slash best of the experience concerns my brother, although I have been around for the spooky atmosphere. He only discusses this if I ask him to. 1. My brother P left school at 15, married for love at 17, best reason to marry, I find, and moved to our country's capital city, Ottawa, in the early 1970s after our widower father died and we were left with nothing to live on. Bloody hell. So off to work we went. P had a choice of working in a crematorium or a small farmer's slaughterhouse. He chose the latter. On his first experience with a dead cow, he thought, I should have stayed in school. Being raising a family and working, P went back to school for ever better careers. He is now retired, still married, and a grandpa who can build or fix anything. I say all this to emphasise that he has no time for pretension or woo-hoo. I do like the fact he's got no time for woo-hoo. I always have time for woo-hoo. I always have time for a bit of woo-hoo. 2, she goes on. There is a stone building in downtown Ottawa built in 1862 as the Carlton County Jail, handily attached by a tunnel to the courthouse. All sorts of dastardly criminals were housed, beaten, and occasionally publicly hanged there. These villains ranged from murderers to drunks, the mentally ill and general troublemakers. These included men, women, and children. Yes, children, she says. Take your kiddies down to watch the hanging and you bet you they will stay out of trouble. I suspect most inmates were too poor to pay off somebody in power. I guess you're right. Picture this four-story limestone building with a courtyard for hangings and burials, in brackets unmarked. Inside the 60 1x3 metre and 30 2x3 metre cells were up to 150 prisoners. I figure this is 360 square metre for 150 folks. And I'm not going to doubt your maths there, Kathy. I am not including the so-called solitaries, where iron rings in the stone floor were used to chain down naked prisoners, spread-eagled on their fronts. Jesus! None of the cells had glass in the windows against the biting cold of an old Ottawa winter. The last hanging was in 1946. God, that's actually not that long ago, really. Well, come on, Kev, it's like over 80 years. Never mind. By then, hangings were done inside, in private. The apparatus, trapdoor, etc., is still complete and sitting in the dark. The building is now a youth hostel and brags about being haunted. I bet you it does. And so, to the story. Bum, 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 bum. P and his wife, K, aren't they lucky to have found two people with initials for names? I joke. Were hired by K's mother to be the managers of the hostel in about 1975. The perk was free housing in the female warden's old apartment. I stayed a few times and had a brief tour of the entire building. As we approached one short flight of stairs, I felt fear and just that dirty feeling of bad. I know that dirty feeling of bad. My bro just looked sideways at me and said, I know. Up we went. The pulley and trapdoor were there. No rope, thank goodness. The place was like a dark cave, although it was a large room. More like a loft, in brackets. Ha ha, Kevin. So the hanged person could be seen. Why she put ha ha, Kevin? Is that because I say loft? I'm a bit confused, but the UK people say loft, not attic. Is that it? Maybe. UK and Canada share a lot of vernacular, so maybe. And the stone cells were just creepy. Hostelers could stay in some of the redecorated cells. Yuck, says Kathy in brackets. Finally, she says, exclamation mark. On a late fall night, P and K were alone in the building, as in the mid-70s, not many hostelers backpacked around after summer. P and K slept with their bedroom window open. It was on the third floor facing the infamous courtyard. At 2 a.m, they were awakened by a huge crash of wood, like a trapdoor. They heard a woman wail out, "He is gone! He is gone!" They each asked if the other had heard the same thing. They did not leave the apartment to investigate. That's horrible. He is gone. They stayed another few months. P said some cells and halls were too uncomfortable to go into, and he felt eyes on the back of his head many times. Last summer, I asked P if he thought that with the now decades of youthful joy and passions that have passed through the old jail, the bad will have been driven out. He paused, thought about it, and shook his head. He said, "No, Kath. Some things are too strong and too violent to ever dissipate." And this is from Mr. Practical Atheist. Is that what P stands for? No. Anyway, I enjoy your podcast. I laugh and shudder each episode. Catherine Bird. Note, Catherine has an A after the H. I do note that, Catherine. Unlike my sister's name, Catherine, which is an E after the H, so thank you for telling me. That is a brilliant story. I do like that very much. I mean, I like any, without sounding too morbid, I do like it when somebody says, "Hey, I know somebody who's lived in an old execution chamber." Normal people would be like, "Well, that's horrible. Why would you tell me that?" But I'm a bit like, "Tell me more, tell me more. Did he swing from the neck? Aha, aha." So yeah, I love and all that. That's dead good. But this, what did you say? You say in the story where the woman says, "He's gone, he's gone." That's terrible. Because do you know what they used to do? You probably do. Everybody probably knows this because you learn it in history lessons. But definitely in the hangings that took place in the UK when they had public ones, and I think in France, probably anywhere there was public hangings, the family members would come to the hanging of the victim. And when they would hang them, obviously they'd be struggling for several minutes, unless their family decided to do something as a bit of relief for them, like a mercy thing. They would swing from the family members' legs as they hung to hasten their death so they didn't suffer for a long time. And I just hope to God none of the kids went wee as they were doing it, because that would be bloody awful. But thank you, Kathy. That's an amazing story. Kathy was actually going to write that in. She was going to take a pen, some paper, and write it all down. And I don't blame her for jumping on a keyboard instead, or your phone, or however you sent that. And don't forget, if you have a story like Kathy's, it doesn't have to include death chambers or corpses being used as swings. But if you do have one, then send it over to contact@talkaboutghosts, and I will read it out. Anywho, shall we have another? Yes, I think we shall. This next story is called Reiki. I'm not good at exciting titles. I think I'll be the judge of that. That's a great title. It's not really. No, it's okay. And this has come in from Sue. And Sue says, "Hi, Kev." Hi. "If you decide to read my story, can you please use only my given name?" I have. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, Sue Fitzgibbons. I'm joking. That's not your real name. And if it is, then it's a complete fluke and I'm sorry. I continue. She says, "I do a fair amount of long distance driving and I try to save up episodes to keep me entertained on the 9-hour round trip I do at least once a month." Bloody hell. "Unfortunately, I am now all caught up." Aww. "I have listened to the episode where the lady from London shared her Reiki experience. I too had what I at the time thought weird experience whilst having Reiki. Now, I'm the first to admit that I was, and still am, quite ignorant to the theory around Reiki. At the time, a work colleague had just started to build a Reiki business and suggested that it would be a good relaxation opportunity given the stress of my job, a primary school teacher at the end of year. Think Jurassic World Velociraptor training and you'll get the idea of what a classroom looks like 3 weeks out from Christmas. I can well imagine. Hey, on the subject of that, before I carry on with the story. In fact, no, you know what? That's very rude. That was some of the feedback that I received. I go off on tangents. And I know some people like it. I'm doing it now. Uh-oh. I will... Sorry, I just did a noise. And Becca's gone. Officially gone. But okay. I'll carry on with the story. And I must remember to come back to what I was going to tell you. As well as now fucking freaking myself out. Anyway. Okay. So, primary school teacher, nuts, Jurassic World. That was the classroom 3 weeks out from Christmas. She continues. Anyway, I digress. As far as I'm aware, having never had Reiki before or since, the session went as it should. Nothing out of the ordinary, and I was very relaxed. So relaxed, I was picturing blue sky and white clouds, not really thinking of anything, probably almost asleep. During this serene, she put in inverted commas, moment, I saw and sensed my granddad. It's hard to explain, but I had a very strong sense that he was with me almost to the point that he was next to me in the room and that he was trying to tell me something. Now, my granddad was thousands of miles away in a little town north of London whilst I was in Western Australia. Clearly, he wasn't in the Reiki session with me and I doubt he was astral travelling as my colleague didn't see him. Then, as quickly as it came, the feeling went. The session finished, and I didn't mention anything to my colleague for fear of sounding kooky, and off I went, feeling relaxed and ready to dinosaur wrangle again. That's the spirit. A week later, my family had a call from the UK that my granddad had passed. Oh. While he was old, 91, granddad's passing was unexpected. Make of this what you like. My husband is a complete skeptic like Becca, and he will tell you that I was dreaming based on projected emotions and sentiments, or it was my imagination, which of course could well be true. However, my granddad and I were very close and had a special connection, so I like to feel he came to me to say goodbye. And you know what? This is Kev speaking now. I think that will be the case, so I'm all about that, Sue. You continue. Another experience happened when I travelled back to my hometown to attend my granddad's funeral service. After the service, I went back to my grandparents' house. I was alone in my granddad's bedroom when suddenly the strong smell of baccy and smoke filled the room. My granddad rolled his own cigarettes throughout my childhood. Again, this could have been residual odour and/or my memory projecting onto reality. But one of my cousins came into the room and made a comment about it too. At the time, I was feeling guilty that I had not seen my granddad before he passed, and this experience gave me some comfort. Good, I'm glad that it did. I have other little odd things that happened throughout my life too, which I may share at a later date. Please do. Apologies that this is not scary or long, but I felt a connection to the other story and thought I might share my anecdote. Love the podcast. Keep up the great job. Sue. Thank you, Sue. And don't apologise at all that it was short. And, they don't all have to be about demons. I like them when they are, but they don't have to be like demons ripping things up and stuff. That's just a lovely story that, for me, confirms life after death. I will say that. And I do strongly believe that it was your granddad, in all honesty. Now, thank you very much for that, Sue, by the way. And do send your other stories in. That was amazing. Well, I was going to say, there was two things. One's not scary, one is. The first one was talking about Christmas and school. I said to Becca, this was like a year or two ago, but it reminded me of it today for some reason. When we were in primary school, not me and Becca, because there's an age difference, but like I'm 40 now. And when I was in primary school, so you're talking like the mid to late 80s or early 80s, really. We used to have parties in school, right? But put it this way, we were talking about doing a party, me and Becca. And I said, jokingly, I said, oh, we'll have to tell everyone to put the name on a spoon. And she was like, what? I went, well, you know, when you're in school and you have parties and you have to bring a spoon with your name on. And she was, no, that didn't happen because I'm not Edwardian. And I was like, well, I'm not Edwardian either. But anyway, in our primary school, when we used to have like a class party, they used to have an instruction. You'd go home with a letter and it'd say, we're going to have a party on the Friday, dear parent. Your child can wear their own clothes so they can stop wearing dad's. But they also need to bring a spoon with their name on. And we used to literally get like a teaspoon and you'd write your name in, well, your parents would write your name in sellotape, in paper and sellotape that to the handle. So every child would go to school for the party with this little teaspoon with the name on it, sellotaped on it. And we'd use that spoon for all the cakes and the jellies. And then you'd bring your spoon back. Now, to me, because I then grew up, left school and all that jazz, and you just class it as a normal thing. But it turns out, unless you listeners can tell me different, that I went to a very odd school where clearly they didn't have enough spoons. And this bothers me somewhat. And I've thought about it. It could only be because we had lunches at different times. You know, like years 1 to 3, you'd have them at 12. Someone else would have them at 12:30, blah, blah, blah. And I can only think that they just didn't have enough spoons for the whole school. Well, what? I know it was the 80s. Like, it was Liverpool was a very deprived city during the 80s, thanks to the bloody Tory government, who we've just voted in again. But yeah, very bizarre. Surely we weren't that bad off as a school that we had to bring our own cutlery in. If anyone else has got tales about bringing spoons in with the name on, please do let me know. Because Becca doesn't believe me that this happened. She thinks I've misremembered this, but I definitely haven't. The other thing that I wanted to say, which Sue's story reminded me of, she's talking about her granddad there. Get onto this for a dream that I had. Right. I know that this is a bit spooky, so that's why it's relevant to the podcast. So basically, most nights when I go to sleep, I listen to a meditation thing on YouTube, or like a binaural beats, or a how to astral project, or something weird to fall asleep to, because that's what I like to do. Anyway, I was listening to a particular one the other night about astral projection. Then I had a dream, and it was a dream, it wasn't astral projection, but I had a dream that I astrally projected out of my body, right? And in this dream, I was going around like this community center in my astral form, and no one could see me. And that's how I knew I'd succeeded in coming out of my body. No one could see me at all, except for one person. And now that person was a bishop, a Catholic bishop, and he could see me. He wasn't looking in my eyes, but he was following me around the room, and he didn't look happy that I was doing this. And I got close to him to see if he could definitely see me, and he definitely could. And then he grabbed the Pope's hand, because, you know, I don't have amateurs in my dreams. You know, they've got to be the top of the top. So he grabbed the Pope's hand, and collectively they tried to grab at me, and I backed off. And I backed off into a little room, and I was in this little room, and then my granddad, who passed away at the start of the year, came in and sat down, and there was a feeling of either he was trying to tell me to stop or he was trying to protect me. It was very weird. And then I woke up and I could see like bright grey lights behind my eyes, although it was a pitch black room. It was like there was lights on in the room, but when I opened my eyes, that kind of went. Weird, eh? So there's two things that I thought I'd share with you, because I have no filter. Anyway, enough of Kev's dreams. Although they are kind of spooky, they're not paranormal. Or are they? We may never know. Let's have a midpoint. The Western midpoint, people? Ja, midpoint. Midpoint, hooray! Can you believe that we're at the end of 2019? I just can't believe it. I think what we'll do is we'll release a one story, very short episode on New Year's Day, just to wish us all Happy New Year from the bottom of my heart, because it's been a great year for the show. Like, numbers wise, we're going up and up, and that's fan bloody tastic. I can't thank you enough. And evolution wise as well, the show's evolved from, if you listen to a show from the start of the year, to almost a completely different show, with the exception of one thing, and that's the fact that there are still spooky noises going on around me. I hate it when I know that Becca's out and I can hear stuff, because I can't rationalise it then. And it does my bloody nothing. But yeah, you'll have to let me know what you're all doing for New Year. I hope you're all having fun and doing something festive and special. Me and Becca are going to a caravan. Hooray. We may have told you this before, but basically, she loves going out on New Year. Like, she loves the bars, the drinking, the dancing. I hate it. It's not that I hate it. I love drinking. I love dancing. I just hate wasting 40 minutes of my life in the queue for a bar. Ah, there's nothing worse. It does me head in. And I also like to sit down and have a gab when I'm having a drink. Not just stand there going, what? Yeah, I can't hit what? Yeah. I hate all that shit. Anyway, so we've come to a compromise. I want to stay in. She wants to go out. So we're going to a caravan. Because on this caravan site, there is a bar. And for £5 a ticket, as we told you last week, we get disco, dancing, buffet, bingo, all the works. And a James Bond themed casino as well, with hopefully fake money, because otherwise I'm going to waste all my money. 52 on black, please. They'll be like, you don't know what you're doing, do you? And I'll go, no earthly idea, but I look like Bond. And I won't. If he had a ponytail and a grey beard, of course, that I'd look like Bond. 80-year-old Bond. So that's what we're doing for New Year. But I want to know how you're bringing in the New Year and what your plans are. Do you the sorts of people who do New Year's resolutions? I have a few resolutions. I may share them with you at some point, but I'm trying to keep them under my hat Can you imagine the size of my hat? Do you know how big the circumference of my head is? Seriously. We once, because this is things you do. We do in our family anyway. We had a head measuring competition. And mine was unbelievable. It was like a small child's waist. It's massive. Honest to God, like, you know, Christmas crackers, which we've all recently had a go of. Christmas hats don't fit. So much so that one year, Becca actually sent off to a company, this is genuine, and got me a special cracker made with a specially big hat. And I took it to my families and said, like, you know, that's my cracker, just so I could wear a Christmas hat. It's huge, honestly. I don't know what goes on up there, but it's not intelligence. Maybe it's my latent psychic powers, big brain boy. Anyway, enough waffle. I want to say a big thank you to all of our Patreons this year. You've all been fantastic. If you want to become a Patreon, go over to www.patreon.com/ We Need to Talk About Ghosts. For just $5 a month, you can sign up and get an extra show a week, which is me and Becca generally twaddling chittle chattle. There's also all the posts that we put up there. There's a couple of videos where we've tried to contact the dead with a pendulum. Didn't really go well. And there's a Most Haunted skit. There's some other stuff. And we're going to be doing more of that in the new year. So yeah, head over to www.patreon.com/ We Need to Talk About Ghosts. Or if you want to go and check out the website, which one of my resolutions is to regularly update, just go to talkaboutghosts.com. Yeah, any of those links are good. But in the meantime, I do need to say thank you and hello to some new Patreons. And as always, we do that via the medium of song. So I've got the guitar. Now, I did get in trouble with some copywriters for changing the words to the boxer and making it about Patreons. So this time, ballsier, I'm going to do it to more than words. And this is for our two new, wonderful, beautiful Patreons. One person I know very well, my very good friend, Mr. Christopher Conder. And another person who I will know just as well, Erin Nichols. And this song is for you. It goes like this. Chris Conder and Erin Nichols, you have signed up to Patreon, and that is why I'm singing out your name, 'cause you've gone over and gave me $5 and signed up to Patreon. Didn't work. La 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 la. Ooh. Always end it on a seventh, Kevin. So thank you for Chris. Thank you for Chris. And thank you for Erin. And thank you to both of them for their Patreon donations. Don't forget, you can go over, get your name sung out by me. Patreon.com/ We Need to Talk About Ghosts. See you on t'other side. And we're back with a rather scared Kevin because I've just done a quick sweep of the flat and there is nobody in here, but I am hearing noises. I literally, whilst editing the little middle bit there, I was convinced Becca was in the hall. Went out, said hello a few times, and nothing. But right now, I am officially scheisening myself, which is German, as we all know, for shit. How to describe this? The room where I do the show is Becca's office, basically. Formerly a bedroom, a spare bedroom. And there's loads of, which sounds scary in this setting, of stuffed animals. Not animals, what do you mean? It's stuff like teddy bears on top of a wardrobe. One of them's just fell. I've just caught it out the corner of my eye. It just fell. Like it's being pushed. Nothing ever goes up there either, as in, like, I haven't recently been up there and moved anything. But yeah, one's just fell. Now that's kind of spooky. So, and a little wind chime she's got on the on the wardrobe is actually moving as well. Oh, that might just be off the breeze of the passing teddy bear, hopefully. And hopefully nothing else. So, I'm going to try and just rearrange my seating position here so that I don't have my back to any of that shit, because swear of that. I normally do it with my back to the door. I stop saying, why are you Stephen Gerrard? Right, anyway, enough of this. Regroup. Come on, Kev, you've got a show to do, baby. I'm going to have to start doing these on the camera, aren't I? Just to stop saying M. Oh, God, forgive me, everybody. A little bit freaked out right now. M again. Anyway, get in the game, Kevin. You need to get back into the mood of things, into the swing of things here. And what better way to do that than with another scary story? So come on, back in the room. Here we go. Right. This next email, I was going to say this next song, this next email is from Emmeline Byrne. What a lovely name. And the subject title is Haunted Houses, Psychic Eyebrow Waxes, Dead Evil Grandfathers, Smoking Ghosts. Oh my. Oh my indeed, Emmeline, I quite agree. And I hope I'm pronouncing your name right as well. But that's a fantastic title. And your story goes thus. Hey, Kev. Hey. I so enjoy your show. Thank you. It makes my long commute to work enjoyable. I've got a long story and a short one for you from Australia. The short ones first. Okay. My husband and I were renting an old worker's cottage in Victoria, Australia, whilst we were building our house. Built in the late 1800s, it was originally just two rooms joined by a hallway in the middle. It had since been extended, but our bedroom was in the original part of the house. On one occasion, my husband was away for a week with work, so it was just me and the cat in the house. Sitting in the lounge room one evening, with the cat purring away on my lap, I could hear footsteps in the hallway of the original part of the house. I shrugged it off and after a few hours went to bed. As I passed from the newer part of the house into the older hallway, I caught a whiff of cigarette smoke, just passing through the doorway. Thinking that it had wafted in from the street, I checked all the windows. They were closed. I even went outside to see who was smoking on the property, but there was no one. I came back in and there it was again, only in the doorway between the old and new parts of the house. When my husband came home, I told him about it. He is definitely a Becker. I like the way Becker's now being used like as a descriptive term. That's fantastic. I'll have to tell her that. She'll love that. And scoffs at the idea of ghosts. So I just about fell over when he told me he smells cigarette smoke in that same place every night as he goes to bed. That's interesting. He tried to convince me that a previous tenant must have smoked in the house and it soaked into the walls. Like a lunatic, I sniffed all the walls of the house. No cigarettes. So clearly, he's talking a crock of shit. I like that, yeah. I agree. And it's definitely a ghost who enjoyed a smoke out the back when the house was only two rooms. I completely agree with you, Emmeline. I sincerely do. And this is the next story. So that first one's great. I like smoking ghosts. I think that should be the name of this titled episode. Smoking ghosts, yes. The next story, she says, is a belter. Because she says, my next story is a belter. Well, there you go. I told you, didn't I? When I was a child, my mum, dad, and my elderly sister and I would often visit my maternal grandparents who owned a large farm in Queensland. There were two houses on the farm, the one that my grandparents lived in, and an old empty house that had been my great-grandmother's when she was alive. Houses in Queensland are often raised on stumps because of floods. This old house was, but years of rain and neglect had rotted some, and one side of the house was on a lean. My sister and I loved to explore inside because it was creepy as hell. One time we found old jewellery buried under the floorboards. One day when I was 8 and my sister was 12, we were exploring upstairs outside what we called the lean room, in brackets, original I know. This bedroom was on a slant due to the rotten stumps. And we never went in because the vibe we got was just so eerie. We were jostling each other at the door, daring the other to go in when we heard loud footsteps coming towards us from inside the room. Jesus. We absolutely booked it out of there and ran down the stairs, the footsteps following us the whole way. That's terrifying. Afterwards, when our heart rates returned to normal, we joked with each other saying it must have been great-grandmother pissed at us as naughty kids for messing around in a house. Fast forward to when I was 18. My sister was 22. My sister had married, moved to another city. Moved to another city, not sitter. Moved to another city, and we drifted apart, so didn't speak often. I was about to move out of the country and stayed at her house the night before my flight. We were talking about the old days and the spooky experience at the farm. My sister, whilst a believer, hates, in italics, anything paranormal and hates talking about it. So this was a rare treat for me. She comes out with this banger. So, my eyebrow waxer is psychic. Sure, okay, crazy town, I think. But I like that, crazy town. I'm going to start saying that. You're just crazy town, man. You need to get a bus to crazy town. In fact, get a return. because I want you to come back. Here we go. Sure, okay, crazy time, I think. But my sister tells me that one day, while getting her brows done, the psychic waxer comes out with stuff she possibly couldn't know, or couldn't possibly know. The waxer said, and I quote, "Your paternal grandfather was an evil man in life, Jesus, and he's an evil man in death. Your paternal grandmother is protecting you and your sister from him. Your grandmother was abused by more than one man in her life, and she wants to keep you girls safe." Oh my Jesus, that's bloody awful. "Both my paternal grandparents died before my sister or I were born, but our mum told us that our grandmother had been abused by both her father and husband." And then in brackets, "heavy, I know, sorry, you're not wrong. Don't apologise, eh? My sister definitely did not tell a psychic waxer," brilliant name, brilliant title, "the psychic waxer any of this and was pretty gobsmacked, but she wasn't finished. She then said, and I quote, "That thing you and your sister heard in the house when you were children wasn't your great-grandmother. It was something evil and it wanted to hurt you. And with that, Kev, sleep tight." That's how you sign off an email. Thank you, Emily, and I will. Oh my Lord, that's bloody terrifying. Yeah, I don't even know what I hate it when somebody says, "and she was abused," because I'm a bit like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. Gonna sing a little song. Yeah, baby. That's bloody horrible, your poor grandmother, or Nan, as I'd like to call her. Christ, yeah, that's horrible. But I'm glad she's protecting you. And I'm not going to say your granddad sounds like an evil piece of work, even though the psychic waxer did. Because, you know, families be families. Anyway, that does sound bloody horrible. It's kind of freaked me out a lot more now. Thanks for that, Emily. And remind me to do you something of equal value. I don't know. I was going to say something horrible then. I was going to say send an intruder around to your house just for police record. I don't know why that popped in there, but I'm obviously not going to do that, okay? So if an intruder does pop around, it's nothing to do with me or my instruction. And I sincerely hope it doesn't happen. Good God, Kev, you need to have a word with yourself. But thank you, Emily. If you've got a story like that and you want to send it in, send it to contact@talkaboutghosts.com. And I promise I won't send an intruder around to your house. So should we have one more story before we go? I think we should. Our next story comes in from Esme. And Esme titles this email, "We need to talk about soap." And I hope it isn't a slight on my character and she's met me. I don't think it is. She says, "Hello." Hello. Just wanted to start that I love your podcast. Thank you. I've been listening for a while now. I live just down the road, in brackets, sort of, in Chester. You shouldn't have said that because I could send an intruder around to your house. Why do I think that's funny to say? It's not. Kevin, honest to God. She continues. Thank you, Esme. This is somewhat of a head scratcher. In brackets, I think I stole that from Jim Harold. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And you're going to get me sued. Thank you very much, I see. Anyway, this story stars me, a shower and a bar of soap. Aye, aye. I think we may need to put a rating 18 on this. I don't think it's smutty, really, because it's a paranormal podcast, not a porny one. Is there such thing as a porny podcast? Good God, I don't even want to search that. You know, Becca might get me phone and go, "Why have you searched for that?" I'll be like, research for the show? Anyway, sorry, Esme, back to your story. There I was, having a shower, not too hot, not too cold, just right. a Goldilocks shower, is what I like to call it. I go to wash myself and I drop my bar of soap. This has got red lights all over it, literally, literal red lights. I drop my bar of soap. I see it drop. I don't hear it drop, but I 100% dropped that soap. I hate spending too much time in the shower, so instead of looking for it, I use another bar of soap. I decide I'll look for the drop bar once I get out. I finish my shower, dry off, then go look for the soap I dropped. It's nowhere to be found. It's not stuck to the shower curtain. It's not stuck to the bath. It was too big to go down the plug hole. The water wasn't hot enough to dissolve it. It wasn't on the floor of the bathroom or under the bath mat, and it wasn't stuck to my body. This happened 4 days ago, and I still haven't found the soap. I've searched everywhere in my bathroom. I even checked the laundry hamper, and it's nowhere to be found. The soap was pink, so easily seen against a white bath. I've christened it my interdimensional soap. Fair enough. I'm thinking of putting up reward posters for my soap. To be fair, it does sound like the way you're giving descriptions. Like, so if anyone's seeing this soap, can they get in touch? Also, on somewhat of a spooky other note, when I was listening to your latest episode, when you mentioned about seeing a flash of light at the exact same time, I had an ornament fall over on my shelf. It's a pretty heavy ornament and the shelf is level. Neither of my cats were hanging about and I don't think there was an earth tremor. The ornament in question was a robin. I've always associated robins with lost loved ones. My nan, by the way, so have I. Every time I see one, I say to Becca, that's me mum there. And she now laughs and says, what do you do when there's two Robins? I'm like, to me mum and me nan. What if there's three? And then I carry on until I've run out of dead people. And I'm like, I don't know. It's the disciples who, bloody hell. You're not right. Anyway. So she says, the ornament in question was a Robin. I've always associated Robins with lost loved ones. My nan passed about 2 weeks ago. Oh, God bless you. Oh, I'm sure it's something to do with your nan. Her favourite colour was pink, in brackets the same as the soap. I'm doubtful if the two incidents are related. Sort of creepy if my nan is watching me in the shower. Even more so if she's stealing your soap and doing poltergeist activity. Naughty nana. Sorry if it's a long rambling email. It's not, you're fine. I'm not normally one to send emails. Keep up with the good work on the podcast. I may be able to join your Patreon soon. Happy Crimbobble to you and Becca. Esme. Thank you, Esme. That was a bloody lovely email to end the show with. Spooky. Started off, I thought it was going to go down a naughty route. I'm very glad it didn't, because children listen to this show, you know. I say that, they might not. I was about to say something even weird. I was about to say, if you're a child, get in touch. What? No, please don't. Well, you can't invite your parents as long as it's just a ghost story. Bloody hell, this has took a turn. Anyway, so I do hope you have a fantastic New Year. And I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. Now, as I say, we'll release a very, very short thank you episode on New Year's Day. Just to say, well, what I've just said. Thank you, really. To everyone and anyone who's been involved with the show over the last 12 months. I hope you got everything you wanted for Christmas. And if you didn't, I hope you're not arsed. And I hope that you have a fantastic 2020. Can you believe it? Honest to God. Remember when the millennium was going to come around and we all thought planes were going to fall from the sky? And now we don't. Which is a bonus, yeah. So 2020 is going to come along and the show will still be here. We've got some exciting things lined up for the show in the next 12 months. Trying to get like big stars on the show. Big stars, what I think. I'm sorry I'm saying a lot in this episode. It's because I'm freaked out. And then my eyes are going all over the show as I'm talking. So yeah, we're trying to get what I would class as big stars on, like people from Most Haunted, etc. Just to do like one-off little interviews in the theme of the show. So still a bit stupid and a bit funny. But hopefully with a good scare along the way. If there's anyone that you want us to try and get on the show, or if you know anyone who wants to come on the show, then do let us know. contact@talkaboutghosts.com. Myself and Rebecca will be recording this week's Patreon episode shortly. That'll go out around midweek. Or in fact, it'll probably go out tomorrow, in truth. Yes. And then I'll be giving a quick episode for you midweek, which will be the New Year one, just to say thank you, everybody. And then I will be back with normal service in 2020. Can you believe it? With perfect vision. 2020 joke there. Next weekend. But in the meantime and in between time, I do hope that you all have simply the most perfect week of New Year merriment that you can have. And, you know, if you can't, then it doesn't matter. You know, if you don't have friends to go out with, I'm your friend. Just plug me on. Just replay that. In fact, let's do this. If you've got no one to go out with on New Year, right, I'm going to now say a series of sentences. You can just play this bit back and pause them at different times. Okay, so let's pretend, God, this is sad, but if you're doing it, then I'm fully with you. I'm behind you. I support you. Okay, so sentence one will be this. Hey, you're looking good. There you go. Play that. Oh, mate, we're having such a good time. Play that. Yeah, pause it now. Fancy a dance? There you go. Oh, not long now till the ball drops. We don't have a ball dropping in England, so that doesn't really matter. But if you're American, you'll get that. Oh, are you ready? 10, 9, everyone, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, Happy New Year, my best friend. Hey. Okay, that's the next one. Oh, you're going to have to ring me a cab, mate. I'm knackered. And that's the last one. All right, I'll see you later. Oh, that's the last one, actually. Yeah, I'll see you next week. Bye. So there you go. If you can chop and change all them. And if you're lonely, play them in a bit of a loop. Just add your bits in and we can have a chat on New Year's Eve. Fun and frolics. Okay, guys, I love you all, as always. Have a wonderfully stupid and brilliant... Just do whatever you need to do to make you feel happy. That's what I say. That's what life's about. C'est la vie. And I will see you all next week in 2020. The future. Bye, guys.